Hello and welcome to
Ghost Beat,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife, Becca. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. We watched People Under the Stairs from 1991, directed by Wes Craven. Needs no introduction, of course. Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, Last House on the Left, a billion other classic horror movies, including this one, which, have you seen this before?
Probably, like, as a kid. It's my mom and my uncle's favorite horror movie.
Somehow my beard keeps hitting the microphone thing. I don't know what is happening. I think when we started watching this, the funny thing is I felt like maybe I had seen it, and I had like this picture in my head of what this movie is, and like, yeah, I realized like, oh, I have seen this.
Yeah.
I remembered nothing about it. Like, yeah. I don't know how. I definitely have noticed there are movies on Letterboxd I'll look up and I'll have rated, and I'm like, I don't know what this movie is. I'll even like read about it and look at pictures, and I'm like, I really, this flushed out of my brain.
Yeah, I know. I'm having the same issue too. I feel like I jump timelines and my Letterboxd is keeping track.
I refuse. You're already laughing. I don't like that. I was going to say, I refuse to say it's because I'm old. I think it's just we've watched so many goddamn horror movies.
Oh,
cannot,
yeah.
Cannot keep up.
That and we jump timelines.
Yes, that too. Okay. But yeah, this movie, I mean, it's a classic and it's great. And I think that I probably understand it better now as an adult than I ever would have. Did you enjoy this?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, I can't even recall what my tiny kid brain might have understood from that movie, but it definitely wasn't what I got now.
So that's the thing. We're not going to spoil it just yet. But the movie itself, it's funny because there, I feel like there's definitely two layers going on here, and we're not going to be saying anything new here. We did want to see this because, you know, there's news now that Jordan Peele is going to be part of, I don't know if he's like actually writing or directing or if it's just one of those random producer movies where they just throw his name on there. I'm hoping he's more involved in that.
I'm hoping so too. I think, you know, I'm a huge fan. Well, we're both huge fans of Jordan Peele. So that immediately piqued my interest when I heard he was involved somehow.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, fortunately for him, good for him, get the bag. But like, I feel like they love throwing his name on shit, even if he's like very tangentially related to the movie. I definitely feel like this is something he could like really eat up and do something with, though, because yeah, the movie, it's interesting because there is a level that just it's this like very over the top story about, you know, these poor people who are breaking into this house that's supposed to have like some secret stash of gold, trying to rob these people. And it's like, it's like a fucking comic book. It is so over the top and so weird. There are parts where it just felt like, it felt like Resident Evil, like the newer Resident Evil games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they definitely were very inspired by this.
Yeah.
Like, it is hilarious how ridiculous and over the top it is. But at the same time, it has these like very real themes running underneath it. And considering it came out in 91, it feels like very ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah.
Especially from a director like Wes Craven. But I guess you could say he has a history of, you know, tackling more intense subject matter like this and doing it in a way that is like actually very smart. Like it is a unique combination of like these serious themes, serious subject matter in a package that is like so fucking zany and fun and weird. And yeah, I'm glad that I can like really appreciate it now and understand why this is like really considered a classic. But yeah, I mean, we're not like super analytical on here, and there's definitely subject matter in this movie that maybe we're not equipped to talk about, especially like off the cuff, because it has a lot to do with race and inequality, and there's so much going on with, I mean, the bad guys in this movie are fucking landlords.
Yeah.
You know, and
accurate depiction.
Yeah, and they're like the most evil goddamn landlords ever. And it has a lot to do with them owning these really rundown projects that are overrun with poverty and drug abuse. And, you know, and it really focuses on this family that is really struggling and dealing with the fact that these landlords are trying to force out all the tenants so they can just bulldoze everything and, you know, what were they trying to replace it with? I don't remember, like a shopping center or something.
I don't know.
But anyway, it's kind of like the tale as old as time. And it really is like surprisingly smart how it tackles a lot of this stuff, because even the fact that like, I'm trying to think how to say this without spoiling, but even the fact that like the police are like complicit with these people, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like they show up and see the mayhem that's happening and they're just like buddy buddy with the landlord. Yeah. Like, yeah, nothing to see here, it's all good. So it's, yeah, it's a very smart movie considering how it's packaged. And yeah, it's just, it is so fucking weird and over the top, and it is really a product of the 90s. Like, it is a very fucking 90s movie. You know, I mean, what can you really say about it without spoiling?
I can't, so yeah.
It's hard because it is a classic that I think most people have seen, but it is worth checking out. It really holds up. Like I said, there are things that we're probably not the best people to be talking about, but it's still easy to recognize the themes that it's playing with and the ideas being expressed. And
look, we're white. We don't have that experience. Is that what you're trying to say?
I guess that's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm dancing around. Yeah, I really just want to fucking talk about it. So let's just get to the spoilers. So, I mean, I feel like there's so much in this movie that instantly just feels classic. Like there are lines, as soon as I heard them, I was like, I know people fucking love this shit. Like early on when the one landlord says bad girls burn in hell, it's like stuff like that that's just like, oh man, like just chef's kiss, like so good.
Daddy,
we can get to daddy. Are you calling me daddy? What?
I don't know.
Okay,
cut that out.
But oh man, it's like, where to begin? You know, it's like it is like this this kind of fun kind of adventure, because when they introduce these landlords, mommy and daddy, which by the way, like I love how it's close to the end of the movie when they mention that they're brother and sister, and it's just like, oh, like of course, like that's just such a little gross wrinkle that just works. But it's cool the way they set it up. It feels like that movie Don't Breathe, is that the movie? That definitely feels like very inspired by this, like this idea that these people are breaking in, and like very quickly you get this idea that like something is very off here, because the way everything is locked like from the outside, and it's just I don't know, it's very creepy.
Their supposed daughter just looks like she lives the most miserable life, and she's never seen the outside.
Yeah, there's so many just little details. It's like I said, at times it feels so over the top that it's like a comic book. Like, I think the introduction of these characters, it's like the dad is like eating this giant thing of meat with like giant tools and utensils in front of a fireplace, and the daughter looks like terrified as she's like serving him. It's like so many little things like that are just, they just kind of perfectly capture this. It's just such a vibe. All right.
Yeah, like, it is a vibe.
Let's use the Zoomer terms. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yeah, it feels like there is this escalation, like, as, you know, you have the young kid who's breaking in with his uncle. And even the idea that it's like it's gold coins that they have secretly stashed away. It's like, okay. Like,
yeah, it's very Goonies.
Sure. Yeah, totally. But it's like, it's this build up to the part where the landlords come home, and when they go to hunt him, the dude like suits up in this fucking full leather armor with a shotgun. And it's like, that's when I think it really is just like, yeah, this is what the movie is.
Yeah.
And I think, go ahead.
He's just like full One Piece character. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He's like an anime character. You called him Cunty Leatherface, which was like,
that
just
made
me like
that.
Spit out my drink. He's like, perfect. Yeah. I wrote it down. But I was like, that's so fucking funny.
I forgot I said that. He is a Cunty Leatherface. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the ultimate evil zaddy. That was when it was just like, we were just laughing our asses off, because it was like, this, okay, I see what this movie is. And yeah, that was perfect. It was super funny. And yeah, it's just, it's such a bizarre, like, what was the explanation for the actual people under the stairs? Like, I don't even, there's so much fucking going on in this movie.
I mean, I guess I can assume it's anyone that's come into contact with them or the house or both.
You just get locked up down there.
I guess so. Maybe they're all trying to go get the gold. I don't know.
Yeah, they just turn into mutants from being locked in the basement.
Yeah, the design of, like, the character design is, first of all, like, so Wes Craven.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Roach is just, he's...
It's like the slider just went, like, off the charts to 1,000, yes.
Yeah, I think all the, like, practical effects and the prosthetics and stuff they use, like... When you first see, like, I assume it's, like, Roach's hand coming out through the vent. It looks so cool. Like, it's just so, it's, like, so campy and...
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
That's the word. It is funny how, though, with the dog, like, that dog was, like, it had the worst acting I've ever seen. Now, that was the funny thing, because there is, like, there is straight up, like, dog violence in this movie, like, because I think the dog died. I was thinking, like, oh, I guess there's that website, does the dog die? It's like, yeah, the dog dies.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even upset because the dog's acting was so bad.
It was, remember? The dog's acting was so bad in the best way.
Oh, yeah, it's just funny.
Yeah, you could tell that dog was just, like, really happy. He was just a good boy.
He was just, like, playing around the whole time. And they just get, like, a random shot of him looking down, and that's supposed to mean that he died. It's just, like, I couldn't even take it seriously.
You know? I think they even have, like, a stuffed dog head that's, like, growling, because I assume the dog was so playful and happy that it couldn't make that face.
It's very silly. But, yeah, it did feel like just straight up out of Resident Evil 7 when they're, like, getting chased by him in the walls and everything.
Yeah, and the, like, super thick door that he has to, like, break through. Yeah.
Man, I want to watch it again because I do feel like the movie, it is just full of stuff. Like, it's funny because we just talked about Horror in the High Desert, which is a movie where, like, very little happens during its runtime. And then you have this, which is, like, packed. Like, every fucking second there is something going on, something being expressed. I think that's the part that, like, holds up the most. Because that can also be, look, we're old. Like, there's no getting around it. We can even admit, though, there are a lot of older movies that, I guess, attention spans have just shrunk over time. So movies are, like, much faster, much like, the pacing is a lot faster nowadays. But this is, like, so ahead of its time because it fucking moves, like, from start to finish. And it does feel like everything is just ratcheted to 11 and in the best way possible, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot happening with all of the characters between Mommy and Daddy. Like, the fact that they are, like, I assume these, like, serial killer, cannibalistic, pedophile landlords, like...
Right, they had to use, like, they had to tick every box for, like, fucking weirdo white people,
Oh, and they're incestuous, I assume?
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
They're called Mommy and Daddy and they're brother and sister, right? I mean, is that their actual daughter?
No, they stole her.
Oh,
I missed that. Yeah. They definitely stole her because there's a scene where the daughter and then the kid are talking and he's like, hey, those aren't your real parents. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Which is also, like, maybe terrifying.
It was a bridge too far, I guess. But yeah, it is like impressive though how ridiculous, how over the top, how fun this movie is, but there is, like, this beating heart that is, like, very real and is really saying something. And I think that's part of what makes it so special. And, like, the lead up to the ending when, I mean, they do find, like, the gold coins at some point, which is, like, sure.
It's like a huge it just makes money sense. Room? Just, loose money?
I was getting that because remember first they just find, like, the little stash of gold coins?
Yeah.
But then, at the end there's the room that's just, like, ridiculously full of cash.
Yeah, just hoarding wealth.
Yes, and the kid, his first response is like, oh, I guess that's where all the money from the hood's going. You know, and it's like, true.
Yeah, true.
You know? Yeah, it is like the ultimate fuck landlords movie, basically. Yeah. But all of that, it just worked super well. And I do feel like I probably saw this when I was much younger, and so much of that went over my head. Mm-hmm. But it's like I said, it is like there are these two layers, and even just the surface layer zaniness is a really fucking fun movie. It's just the fact that there's more that's also going on, that's what kind of catapults it into being like a masterpiece. Because, this movie, it's excellent. It's I think it's one of Wes Craven's best movies, for sure. And very excited to see what Jordan Peele is going to do with it.
I'm so excited.
Holy shit. Like, if he really tries to capture this tone in the newer movie,
I can only imagine.
It's
going
to be fucking bananas. Yeah. So I'm very excited to see what that looks like now. Bronla, did you have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod, and you can follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank all the movies we cover. You're so pretty. Okay, so I would put this above The Black Coat's Daughter, under Psycho.
Yeah.
Sound good?
I agree with that.
Easy peasy, number 12. And you can contact us, podcast@ghostbeast.com. What's your favorite Wes Craven movie? Most cliche question I can ask, but he has a big fucking catalog.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really realize just how much he's done. Bye.
Have we gotten any?